Football is coming. Our guest, the first-time guest here, played for Coach Bellotti as an outstanding tight end for the 01 Fiesta Bowl team, the 2002 squad, six-year NFL career with the Jags. Now he's an analyst, host of the Unafraid Show on YouTube. Link it all via his Twitter feed, at George Reister. George, great having you. How's life treating you down there in Southern California?
Man, life is good, man. I can't complain. Kid finishing up jujitsu right now, so we're in good shape for the rest of the day.
No, never a dull moment, it sounds like.
Never.
So I mentioned Unafraid. It's pretty new. George, tell the folks what they can expect when they tune in. Topics, interviews, what's the show all about?
Oh, yeah, it is sports and pop culture explained simply and quickly. So you're going to get honest conversation about the things in sports, and it's going to be mostly college football as we get to the fall. So you're going to get interviews from everybody, from Dan Lanning to Deshaun Foster. We got Steve Sarkisian coming up. We have, you know, Kenny Dillingham and a whole bunch of other coaches as well, where you get long, you know, 20, 30-minute interviews where I'm going to ask the questions that everybody else is afraid to ask.
You know, as a former player, now you jump to the other side of the microphone. As a high-level player, you know, your game was analyzed. What strikes you about the differences or challenges now that you're the one looking at players and coaches with an analytical eye?
Well, I think the main thing is to not fall victim to trying to be the hot take person, like trying to really evaluate things and be honest about them, and because there's a huge desire for people to say things just for clicks and not be completely honest, and they say things that they don't really mean. And on the Unafraid Show, or if you listen to me on my radio show on Mad Dog, there's never a time where I'm ever going to say anything that I don't truly believe or is not, you know, that doesn't have legitimate support for it.
Talking with George Reister. So one thing I always love to get is, you know, you went from high school in the L.A. school district to Oregon. Draft day, April 26, 2003. I'm always curious because you knew you were going to get drafted. You were a terrific player here. So that day, like, where were you? Who were you with? And what is that moment like when the dream is realized and they call your name?
See, that's actually a funny story because I ended up going in the fourth round, which at that point in time I was one of the first picks in the fourth round, which was on the second day at that point in time. And I started getting calls in the second round because that's where I expected to go, second, third at the latest. And so I was actually disappointed when I got drafted. And that's actually one of the things that I regret the most, is that I didn't appreciate that moment as much as I should have, because it is still a very special event. It's a special time in your life. And if you don't appreciate it, then, you know, it takes away from a special moment. And my family was super happy, and they were super excited, and I kind of ruined the moment for everybody, kind of getting into my own feelings.
That's hysterical, but it worked out pretty well. You got drafted, had a nice career with the Jets. Talking with George Reister, the Unafraid Show. First of all, I got to hit on your take on Snoop Dogg. I mean, 30 years ago, let's face it, corporate America, mainstream America vilified this guy and his music.
Yeah.
But like you said, for those watching the Olympics, his presence and now the light in which he's seen, kind of elaborate on what you said, because it's an historic plot twist.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, especially being a kid that grew up in Cali, too, just to see, you know, like Snoop Dogg was on trial for murder at one point in time.
Jeez.
And to see that, like, you can restore your image, have a second chance, and now he's a national treasure. And if I had told you in 1996 when he was on trial that him and Martha Stewart would be collabing and friends, first of all, you wouldn't have believed me. And if I told you that one of them was a convicted felon, you would have guessed Snoop Dogg, not Martha Stewart. Oh,
no, that's brilliant. And you see him doing the commercials, hanging out at the beach. He is like Mr. Mainstream America. You've got to love it. Let's get to some Ducks. You played for Bilotti. You played for Jack Del Rio. And I think a year or two, Bill Musgrave was a coordinator when you were with the Jets.
Yes, he was. Yep, former Oregon quarterback legend.
Yeah, but now this current coach here, Dan Lanning, you know, I see this guy on national TV, hear him on national radio. He's high on top of these coaches' lists. I'm kind of curious, what's your read on what he's done? Because it feels like he has made an incredible splash in just his 2 years here.
He definitely has. And the main thing that he's done is taken what – and this is a guy who – ended up with a bad nickname when he left in Willie Taggart. They, you know, Duck fans weren't really fond of him. But he did something which led to Dan Lanning's ability to get here and success, right? Is that Willie Taggart, he destroyed the myth and the lie that you couldn't recruit top 10 classes to the University of Oregon, that you couldn't get them to the Pacific Northwest. And then you had and he was not necessarily as great of an X's and O's coach that you would have hoped. So he left. And then you get Mario Cristobal, who is about the physicality and recruiting the offensive line. So he helped change the mentality and the way the team looks overall, the way they look getting off the bus. And then you have Dan, who was at Georgia, and he's just taking it up, not just on a size level, but a size physicality and allowing the offense to thrive in a different way that it wasn't able to do under Mario Cristobal.
You know, that brings up something. Coming out of Southern California when you went to high school, you know, recruiting was so much different then. I mean, now we hear about the class of 2026 and they're ranking them. I'm kind of curious, as you were coming through the high school ranks, what was recruiting like specifically for you and what landed you at Oregon?
So, recruiting is completely different. I just went through it with my son and my nephew. So, and then a lot of their friends and, you know, they've had teammates that have ended up at the University of Oregon. So I've had a chance to see it front stage for the last couple years. But the main thing, the main difference is just that the kids are so much more skilled now. And, you know, and you didn't have as many touch points with the coaches when you were younger. Whereas now, like I have a son who's going into eighth grade, he's met a bunch of college coaches already and been on college campuses and seen practices and everything else and been places with his brother on recruiting trips and everything else. So everything just happens a lot earlier than it did where I didn't have any real contact with coaches until I was a junior, and now they're starting to have contact with kids 12, 13 years old.
Jeez. Yeah, recruiting has become like its own little industry. Couple final thoughts for George Reister, the Unafraid Show, YouTube. So as an L.A. area guy, obviously you grew up in Pac-12 country. Now we learn that it will cease to exist. So what do you make of where Oregon landed, kind of part of this new super conference, which just, it's a bigger stage, to say the least.
Yeah, it was ideal. To say the least, it was optimal, ideal, Because now you are in one of the two biggest conferences and the best conference right now. And truthfully, everybody looks at the SEC as the mightiest of them all. But the reality is that nothing is more watched than Big Ten games. It has the number one brand in all of college football in Ohio State. And now if you're able to overtake them in terms of win the Big Ten and be Big Ten favorites year in and year out, do you know, I mean, that puts you, like, you are nearing blue blood status. Even though it's quicker than what most people would have done it, I mean, you are running up on that real quick. And if you can put together, you know, two national championships and continuously win the conference or be in that conversation, you are going to, you know, elevate the program, not just for right now and this decade, you know. So now you've stacked three decades on top of each other, win a couple national championships, and now you are forever looked at as one of the elite programs in all of college football. So it changes your, not just, you know, you're trendy for a couple decades. Now you have staying power.
Yeah, the magnitude is impressive. The last thing I want to get is your take about mixing politics and sports hit me. I'm a little older, and even though I was a kid, I remember, you know, the fight for free agency, John Carlos Tommy Smith at Mexico in 1968, Ali stripped of his title. So kind of expand on what you said, because this keep politics or government out of sports, not only is it not realistic now, it's never been realistic.
And that's one of the things that I've always preached and tried to explain to people. When they feel that politics is getting in the way of sports, just stick to sports. When has politics never been a part of sports? Tom Brady just sued the NFL to try to play when he had the Deflategate thing. You've had other players. The Mitchell report in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Flood and free agency with the NFL in 92. There are so many instances where politics continuously is part of sports. And when do political figures ever stay out of sport? When do they just stick to their jobs, because they have no expertise in sports? So, and we are all, as, you know, Americans, supposed to participate in the political discourse. That's literally what my family who's in the military, other people's family who's in the military, that's what they fight, sacrifice, and give their lives for and dedicate. That way we do have these freedoms. And if we don't use them, what the hell are they fighting for?
No.
So I just think that we just need to realize that it's always been part of sports and always will be, even going back to Jesse Owens in the 32 Olympics.
Yep.
And when he's over there with Hitler, and that was political. It was political when he got back home and couldn't even go in the front door of the hotel that was honoring the Olympians. So it's always been political and always will be.
Yeah, I always say to people, you know, we could handle two thoughts at once. We're relatively intelligent. Folks, he's George Reister, kind enough to spend some time on the show today. If you want variety coverage of every and anything happening in sports, socially, check out his Unafraid show on YouTube. Great interviews, compelling subjects. On Twitter, you could link it all at George Reister. George, thanks a million. You be well. I feel like you got 87,000 things going on at once. I appreciate you finding some time. Hope we can catch up again down the road.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one.